told you last week, if you're here last week at our State of Our Union time, that I wanted to start a whole new Bible study with you, really focusing on the book of Proverbs. And at one level, it's a continuation of sort of a theme for the year. My year in my head starts in September, the school year. And I just ask you all to push reset with me. And we talked about reset and worship a number of different ways. But really, I want to challenge each of us to say, maybe I need to reset the directions of my life. And there's no book more helpful than that, than the book of Proverbs. And it really calls us to be careful about choosing our way. And so that's why I titled this series, Choosing Your Way. And it's an important concept. The word way is very central in the scripture. It's everywhere. And once I point it out, you're going to start seeing it everywhere. The book of Exodus, by the way, as an example, really means literally the way out. And it's a continuing theme of scripture that God recognizes, points out to us that we're on the wrong way, and makes a path, a way, so that we can be that we can head in an entirely different direction. And that word, as I say, is constantly in the scripture. I'll show you a passage just to illustrate it for you, if I may. I'll put Proverbs 14:12 up on the screen for you. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see that? The word way there can be taken very literally. It just means a path, a road, a direction, that idea. And it makes perfectly good sense if you understand the proverb that way, especially if you think in the Middle East. You head out in the Middle Eastern desert, and one dusty path goes one direction, and another dusty path goes off in a different direction. Listen, you pick the wrong way, you may end up dying. Yeah, you may have a death by exposure or starvation or thirst, right? So you got to be careful. But of course, the proverb means more than that, because the idea is figuratively, listen, you head in the wrong direction with your life. You make the wrong choice of behaviors, and the destination you're seeking is not what you're going to receive. The destination will be death, yeah? So it's important. And as I say, now that I pointed out, you're going to see it everywhere. You know that works? Like you buy a Volkswagen and suddenly you just see Volkswagens all over the road. Well, now as you look at the Bible, you're going to see the word way jumping out at you constantly, because it's a very central idea in the scripture. But in the book of Proverbs is essentially a book of contrasting ways. It's a book that perennially shows us different directions and the destinations that they lead to. And so what I want to do is start out with you in kind of the great warning and invitation that comes at the beginning of Proverbs. Proverbs is a difficult book to analyze and structure, but the first nine chapters are a unity. The first nine chapters are part of the training in the king's household. King Solomon, from bitter experience, has learned some stuff, and he wants to pass this wisdom along. And so he trains the young people in his household. And so we come to sort of the last appeal that he has for us, which is the great appeal of wisdom to get on the right way. And Solomon is a great communicator, and so he uses powerful images. And he puts before us two different ways, one represented by a lady called wisdom, and another one represented by a brassy chick called folly or foolishness. And you'll see it as we look at it together. So look at the inside of the worship folder, if you will, please, and you'll find a single sheet there. It says the right of way up at the top, talking about the power of a path in our life. And you'll see Proverbs 9, verse 1 through 18 printed for you, the whole chapter. See it? Okay. Stand, please. This is God's word. This is the word that we must respond to. Okay? Here it is. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Instruct a wise man, he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house in a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Okay, have a seat if you will, please. Not hard to feel the contrast in this passage, is it? You've got this caring appeal of Lady Wisdom, and then you've got this seductive invitation of the woman called folly or foolishness. And it's the space between the two that we want to examine. Now, what I want you to see is that both of these characters are trying to direct the way of the path of life of the young person. So if you've got your pen or pencil, we just circle verse 4, please. Circle verse 4. And then I'd like for you to reach down and circle verse 16. And you'll notice they both say, "Let all who are simple come in here." In fact, I'll put them up on the screen, and I want you to see them side by side. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. It's the exact same expression. One, the invitation of Lady Wisdom. The other, the invitation of the woman called Folly. So Solomon is telling us we got to be careful because it sounds the same, but they're two different ways, and they head to two different directions. Do you see that? And as a result, they therefore demand two different destinations. So let's go back to Lady Wisdom. Start in verse 1, because here's the preparation of Lady Wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out its seven pillars. So this is the house that Wisdom built. And the thought is that Wisdom is industrious, and there's this massive house. A house in the Middle East at this time would have two pillars. So this is a seven-pillar house, and the thought is that Wisdom is a mansion. It's a stunning, rich, glorious thing to participate in. And on top of that, Wisdom offers nourishment and balance and beauty. Look at verse 2. "She has prepared her meal and mixed her wine, and she's also set her table." So not just eating porridge, but meat, which would be very rare in an impoverished world. But meat and wine, and she's mixed her wine. She's watered it down so that you can drink as much as you want and not risk getting drunk, see? So you can enjoy it. So it's sort of a rich, fulfilling kind of experience. And then she offers this kind invitation. Look at it in verse 3. "She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city." So the highest point of the city, that's where the town crier is. So it's a public invitation, and the message is this. Listen, Wisdom is for everyone. But then she sends out her maidens. One by one, they go to the house. And this is the message, see? Look, Wisdom is for everyone, but you should know it. Wisdom is for you. It's a personal invitation for you, you see? Now, here's the invitation, verse 4. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. And that word simple requires a little extra attention. I'll just say this. If you're going to study the book of Proverbs, there are three characters that you see repeated in Proverbs over and over again. And so I'll just mention them to you. You may want to jot them down, because if you see them, you'll start spotting them again everywhere. So the first one is the simple person. That's the one mentioned here. And when the Bible says simple, it means a person who is naive. They have not yet had enough life experience, okay? So the Bible actually assumes that young at a certain level means dumb. Did you know that? And that's not being cruel, that's just being accurate. And so that's the first component. There's another one, the mocker. And the mocker is the person who is defiant and cynical and so cool he's dangerous, okay? And that's another person that you see in the scripture. And then the third one is the fool. And the fool is the one who is insensitive, especially to the things of God, and he's lost his moral compass along the way. Now, if you know that Proverbs 1 through 9 is an introduction to the book of Proverbs, and you know it's sort of Solomon's training manual, what's interesting is that Wisdom will make now three different appeals. This is the third appeal of Wisdom. And I just want you to see it, because it's in it, there's a very stunning message. So I'm going to put on the screen for you Proverbs 1, verse 22, because this is the first invitation of wisdom, and just take a look at it. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? And so please notice all three are there, the simple, the mocker, and the fool. Do you see that? So the invitation, that's the beautiful thing about this, is that the invitation is offered to all, extended to all. But if you were to follow the trajectory of this introduction, you'd find out that the mockers reject in this introduction time. So the second time wisdom offers her invitation, let me show it to you in Proverbs 8, verse 5. I'll just put it up there for you. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. And so because the mockers rejected, they've been taken out of the equation. Do you see that? And again, if you follow the trajectory, you'll see that the fools reject this offer of wisdom. And so now we come down to verse 4 here, where it just says, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. You say, well, okay, what's the point? Listen, it is a perilous thing to reject the guidance and goodness of God. When God offers himself to us, we must be prudent enough to say, God, I'll take that. And what we don't do is keep pushing it away, because we reach a point where God doesn't offer it to us anymore. And so we dare not come to this opportunity for wisdom in any casual sort of way. Now, here's the invitation, verse 5. Come, eat my food, drink the wine that I have mixed. So wisdom offers something real and substantial, sort of a feast of wisdom, okay? And verse 6, leave your simple ways and you will live, walk in the ways of understanding. And so again, the word way starts popping out at you, and you'll see two ways that are articulated. One is the simple way, and the other one is the way of understanding. And again, it's not talking about the literal path. Instead, it's talking about a far more important, the direction of your life. And the challenge here is, listen, there is a simple way. The simple way is the self-guided path. It's the, I can do it myself. I don't need any help. Just leave me alone. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. And the warning that Solomon gives is, hey, you be careful, because you're headed in a very different direction. By contrast is the way of understanding. And in Scripture, the way of understanding is the person who shows the willingness to be guided by God, by his word, by his spirit, you see? And so there are two very different ways. And you understand, if you head in a different direction, you will end up in a different destination. That's very important. So there's the challenge. Lady Wisdom says, get off that path and get on the right path. Now, what would happen if you did that? What happens if you're wise enough to admit that you've been wrong? What happens if you're prudent enough to say, you know what? This isn't working. Well, here's where the guidance of Lady Wisdom comes in. Look at it in verse 7, because you find out what other people might say. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. See, if you dare admit that you're on the wrong path, expect opposition. If you're ever forthright enough to say, you know, this isn't smart, expect abuse. Don't be shocked by that. You're part of a dysfunctional family. It's just life and dysfunction junction where you come from. If you're prudent enough, if God is good enough to warn you and you hear it and say, I got to get out of this. I'm not going to play this crazy game anymore. And you step towards wisdom and health. Don't be shocked if the family just seals up and shuts you out. Because you're a threat. You're messing up the whole deal. Nobody knows their lyrics anymore. And so Lady Wisdom is kind enough to say, hey, don't be shocked by that. And she says, don't expect a reason with them either. Look at it in verse 8. Don't rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. People who are living unwise lives don't like to hear the outcome. Here's a woman who belittles her husband. And you say to her, you know, I'm just concerned that could damage your relationship. And she says, I can say anything I want. You understand it's a free country? Oh, you're right. We were talking constitutional law. I forgot. Isn't it true? You got a friend, he smokes like a chimney. And you say to him, man, it sounds like you're starting to chew those things instead of smoke them. I'm worried for you. And you know what he tells you? The Surgeon General is an idiot. And that scientists don't know what they're talking about. Actually, that's not what he says. He says, listen, saying the Surgeon General's an idiot, right? It's true. So by contrast, look at the rest of verse 8. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. See, wise people are humble people. They recognize they're not there yet and that they need that guidance. So here's the real feast that wisdom has to offer. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This concept of the fear of the Lord is very challenging when you're teaching it, because you don't want people to conclude God wants to squish you like a bug and he's going to enjoy it, okay? Yet at the same time, there is a great reverence, a holy reverence that is due to God. And so to try to teach that is very challenging. So I try to take the sort of an accumulation of scripture and teach you three thoughts, if I may, real simply. And if I get you these three, it may help you. Here's the first one. God is there. God is always there. This is a core component of the fear of the Lord. God is always there. You must recognize that. And therefore, you can never ignore him. That's a central understanding of the fear of the Lord. The second thing is this. God is in charge. He's not only there and always there, but he is always in charge. And so as a result, it's useless to fight him. And the person that understands the fear of the Lord gets that. And the third part to me is very important. God has a plan. It's very critical to see that. God is always taking the world somewhere. He's a purposeful God, and he operates according to a plan. He's revealed himself. He has a plan, and therefore, it's foolish to reject him. Do you see that? And if you get those realities, then let me tell you, it can help. God is there. He's in charge, and he always operates according to a plan. That's the fear of the Lord. You start that, and listen, you're well on your way towards wisdom. Now, verse 11, so wisdom says, for through me, that's through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. So yielding to God's plan brings ease and success in life. See that? And not yielding to God's plan brings pain and failure and death. That's the whole point. And so now, here's the choice, verse 12. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. See, two ways, separated, very distinct. And it's very important to understand that it's really not about God, it's about us and the path that we choose. Because the person who, see, God's always there. The question is, will you operate in the fear of him constantly? My wife had this terrific uncle, good old Uncle Clay, and he was an old mercury and uranium miner. And that guy was just tougher than a $2 steak. Oh, just great guy. And he was out in the desert in Nevada in this makeshift airstrip. And he's working on an aircraft, a little Cessna. And he needed to make some adjustments on the engine while it's running. So he's got the engine cover open. And there's the propeller spinning. And let me tell you, it's there. And it's in charge. And you dare not ignore it, right? And he's making his adjustments, and he's almost done. And there's one last thing he needs to do, and his toolbox is right over yonder, and he reached for it. Now, he never made it to the tool, because the propeller reminded him that it was there, and it was in charge, and he dare not ignore it. And it split him from about halfway down his back to halfway down his calf. But like I say, he was just a mean motor scooter. And so he wrapped himself up, and he got in that plane. And this is interesting, because the same propeller that just flayed him when he did not honor it was the same propeller that got him moving, that got him airborne, and that saved his life. When he operated in the fear of the propeller, he flourished. But if he forgot it for a moment, huge, huge risk. You understand? The person who says, God, you are always there, who walks on that path, you are always in charge. You have a plan, and I want to know and honor that plan. That person will prosper. But you step away from that for a minute, and you do so at enormous peril. Do you see? And that's the concept here. You can get on the path of wisdom, or you can head on the path of the mocker. The direction determines your destination. You understand that? You get on a path, you're going to go to a place. It is inevitable. And that's what Solomon wants us to see. And that's tough enough, but we have the misdirection of this lady called Folly. See that in verse 13? The woman Folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. Loud is not a good thing in the Bible, and especially in the book of Proverbs, where it is used of the prostitute and the unfaithful wife. So you don't want to be called loud. And the truth is, we still know how to use loud to cover stupid, don't we? Because if you're losing in the argument because you realize you're wrong, what do? You just shout. Because loud can cover some portion of stupid, or at least that's what we'd like to think. And it just works for us, or so we think. She's undisciplined, the passage says, which is that is not under control. And, you know, you've met that person who's not in control. They're uncontrollably rude. And then they say, well, I'm just honest, that's all. No, you're an idiot. You've forgotten what honesty means. It has nothing to do with rude. But you missed that point, you see? And so that's the challenge. Now, here she is, verse 14. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the highest point of the city. So wisdom was building her house. Here's stupid, too lazy to work. Feel the difference? And notice, though, how perfectly she imitates wisdom, verse 15. Calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. The exact same words as Lady Wisdom. And Solomon's point is this, listen, be careful, you can be misdirected by stupid. It'll even sound smart to you. But look at what she offers, verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Stolen water is sweet. Really? Could we do a taste test on that one? Let me just show you. I brought in this water from my house. And then this water, well, I stole it from the worship team. Now, I'm thinking we could do a little taste test here. I'm thinking we could bring someone up here and I could mix them around and blindfold you and say, here, take a swig of this one. And then say, no, here, take a swig of that one. And I'm pretty sure that no one would say, whoa, where did you get that water? I mean, that is the best water I've ever had in my life. That other stuff, but wow, that must be stolen water. It's just stupid, isn't it? It's a lie. There's no difference between water and water. Oh, now wait a minute. There is one difference. You know what you add with stolen water? Adrenaline. Listen to an old thief. There's a zing when you get your hands on something you stole. There is that. It's not about the water. It's about how stupid you are. And then there's this other beautiful thing here. Food eaten in secret is delicious. The word food is just a lechem, which is the word for bread. Bread eaten in secret is delicious. See, here's wisdom. Got this beautiful feast. The table's all set. Here's folly. Listen, we go out and steal some bread and water. Wouldn't that be great? I got bread and water for you. What a meal. Well, actually, I don't have any, but let's go steal it. See? It's just a nothing kind of a message. And the only opportunity is to do something exciting but dumb. And all the while, the truth is veiled. Verse 18, look at it. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. See, she's not offering a feast. She's offering a funeral. And you know whose it is? Yours. That's the whole thing. Pretty easy to see the difference, huh? Here's Lady Wisdom. She offers life with very little reference to pleasure. And here's Folly. She offers pleasure and doesn't mention that the destination is death. Isn't that an interesting deal? Now, we're going to be studying Proverbs for some time, and I really want to challenge you to grow along with me, but I don't want to leave this passage without at least saying, Let's stop and listen to wisdom. So if you still got a little space to write, you can flip it over in the back of the sheet, and I'll just give you four concepts that come out of the passage I think are very important. So just listen to wisdom, believe this, and be wise. Here's the first one. Recognize the push to get you on a path. I mean, it's very important that you and I recognize that there is a perennial push to get us on a path, and frankly, the wrong path. You better believe that the folly is still shouting. That woman has a loud and long voice, and she's still shouting. And her message is always going to be loud. Do you see? Here, look. You ever notice how the ads on TV are a little bit louder than the surrounding program? Right? Here's one of her message. 0% financing and no money down. She turns down the volume before she says the next thing. And stupid. Isn't it true? She's still selling this stuff. You better believe it. You better believe that the Lady Folly is still telling whoppers. I mean, she's going to lie to you every time. Stolen water is sweeter. That ain't nothing. Listen to one of her great lies. Buy this beer. Gorgeous babes will fall all over you, probably taking their clothes off as they come. True. You say, no, are you sure? If I get that beer, won't I end up with a beer gut just hanging around with my buddies telling bad jokes and passing gas? No, no. Gorgeous women, most of them naked. They are coming at you right now. It's true, isn't it? I mean, listen, she's telling the same lies. And they're working all the time. Smoke the dope. It won't matter. Buy that. You need it. You have to have it. Your life will not be okay if you don't buy that. Get it now. Pay for it later. Get it now. I mean, she's good at this stuff. You better believe that she still knows the power of adrenaline. Because it's still very powerful. She says, look at that woman. Not your wife. Look at her. Oh, that's not enough. You need to look at another woman. Feel that tingle? That's your adrenaline. You're not getting enough adrenaline? Look at that woman. See, you're an addict to your own adrenaline. I mean, here's what folly offers: addiction to you. How's that for dumb? And she's good at it. She says, why did you look him up on Facebook? I mean, I know your relationship was sick and sordid, but I mean, just to see how he's doing, just look him up. And I mean, well, yeah, send him a little text, send him a little note, just to find out how he's doing so you can pray for him. But do you feel that tingle as you're typing? That's adrenaline. She's getting you addicted to you. And you're in a very, very, very dangerous place. That's why you got to hear the second lesson out of this passage. We have to learn that directions are destinations. Realize that directions are destinations. It's so important to get this. And it's a core message of the book of Proverbs. That if you get on a path, you will go to a place. And it doesn't matter whether you want to go there or not. Listen, it is your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. Does that make sense? It's huge to get that. Do you know how many people want to live in contradistinction to that? Here's a couple. They want to retire with a reasonable amount of income, so that they can live stably, not be a burden on their kids. But they continue to spend more than they receive. I know what they want to do, but I'm telling you the path that they're on, even though I'm not a prophet, predicts the place that they're going to go. And it's not secure retirement, is it? You can't break that rule. Here's a young woman. She really would like to marry a great Christian guy. She'd like to have a home that honors God. She'd love to have kids that she could nourish towards God. But she's dating that guy because he's cute. And cute is a poor measure of spirituality, as many ugly men can testify. Am I telling the truth? I mean, we just got to get this. Here's a dad. He really wants his kids to honor God. It is his intention that they would honor God. But he spends all his time with his business associates who don't care a thing about God. And he brings his kid with them, and they disciple them in that direction. I can tell you the destination they're headed toward. You don't have to be a genius about this. You just have to face the fact that directions are destinations. And that's why it's so important to learn the third lesson of the passage. Respond to the warnings of those around you. Even if it's very hard to hear, respond to the warnings of those around you. We haven't made it through all of Proverbs, but here's one of my favorites. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. It's your real friend who tells you you got bad breath. Your enemies tell one another that you've got bad breath and laugh at you. Isn't it true? And we got to be careful, because sometimes even our people that we call friends can become our enemies. Test it. Go buy something really stupid. And then tell half a dozen of your friends. They will help you come up with reasons why stupid was smart. But a real friend will come to you and say, "Do you still have the receipt?" And everything within you will be saying, "Shut up." But it's very important to respond to the challenges of our friends, even if it hurts, because how you respond is a measure of your wisdom. Last one, here we go. Remember, you don't have to travel alone. And to me, this one's so important. I told you that the word way will jump out at you an awful lot now. And here's a passage where maybe you've never even seen it before. John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Do you want to know what a comfort that is? It means that you and I can be honest enough to say, "God, I've gone in the wrong direction." And Jesus, who knows us so well, has reached out to the farthest person, as far down the path as you can go, and offers a way to be restored to him and full fellowship with God. Nobody else offers that. And then here's the beautiful thing. He invites you to walk with him. The signature claim of Jesus: follow me. Isn't it great? You don't have to travel alone. He wants you to walk with him. But you know what we do? We segment our life, don't we? We have our spiritual life. Jesus, yeah, you're the way. We got our financial life. We got our relational life. We got our social life. We got our sexual life. No. Jesus says, "I gave you one life, and I'm the way." And we don't get that. We just have to admit that we're on a very foolish path. Do you see it? Okay, so let's pray together, shall we? You don't get to select the outcomes, because directions mean destinations, but you do get to select who you'll trust. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are fully and finally trustworthy. I thank you, I bless you, that you who are the way, through the horror and beauty of your death and resurrection, have made a way for us. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to us. Thank you, Lord, because not only do we wander, which is bad enough, but we are willful, which is far worse. And we head intentionally down the wrong paths. So thank you for loving us in spite of it all. Thank you for sticking with us. And thank you, Lord, for being there to bring us back and restore us to the way. Please keep us from believing the lies. Please keep us from responding to folly's call. And help us, Lord, to hear you, to walk with you, and to just follow you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.